The name of Jesus, the righteous one. For those of us who may not be so fortunate as to have a washer or a dryer in our home or at our apartment, we share the common experience of the weekly trip to the laundromat. Now, a laundromat is a very interesting place, to say the least. For in a laundromat, you see the mechanic coming in with his pants stained by axle grease and his shirt smelling of gasoline. And you see the businessman coming in with his button-down collar shirt with ring around the collar. And you see the housewife coming in with her kids' dirty jeans and their tennis shoes and their sheets. But we're all there in that laundromat for the same reason. We're there to fill the washer full of clothes, and we're there so we can leave with clean clothes. This morning from our text, we examine the purpose for which Jesus came. And we examine this in two parts. First, Jesus came to fill up that vessel called the Law and the Prophets. That is, he came to fulfill the Law and the Prophets. And second, Jesus came to give us clean clothes. That is, the clean clothes of righteousness, a righteousness that does exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. First, Jesus came to fulfill the Law and the Prophets. Jesus says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the Law or the Prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." This really capsulizes his whole work, fulfillment. The Law and the Prophets, the words of the living God to his covenant people Israel, that official Jewish title for the Old Testament, which began at Genesis when Moses records, "In the beginning God created," which continues in Exodus, where we see Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai amidst the smoke and the thunder and the lightning. Through the prophesying of Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and Malachi, who speaks of the Son of Righteousness risen with healing in his wings, we find the Law and the Prophets. The Law and the Prophets, the words of the living God to the people Israel, had an authority that extended even to the minutest parts of the Hebrew text. For we note that Jesus says, not even a small iota or yod, that smallest consonant, smallest letter in the Hebrew alphabet, or the stroke which differentiates different consonants in the Hebrew alphabet, will depart until all is accomplished. For we know that Jesus accepted the Law and the Prophets as, in fact, the Word of God. And it is these Law and Prophets that Jesus came to fulfill. The Law and the Prophets are, in a sense, like a vessel, like that washer. It's intended to be filled by Jesus. And until it is filled by Jesus, it's not being used for its proper purpose. Indeed, the Law and the Prophets have an authority in and of themselves. But they are filled and being used properly only when they are filled by Jesus. And we as pastors, in order to make this concept come alive for our people, will need to be concrete and specific about the ways in which Jesus fulfilled the Law and the Prophets. How much more exciting it is to preach to our people that Jesus is the Word who was present at the creation of the universe, that Jesus is the one who crushed the head of the serpent Satan, that Jesus is that bloody Passover lamb, and that because of his blood, our sins have been passed over. That Jesus is the one called Emmanuel, born of a virgin in Bethlehem. That Jesus is the one who is pictured as crucified in Psalm 22. And that Jesus is the one who was stricken and smitten of God in Isaiah 53. And like the apostles in the book of Acts, we can prove to our people from the pulpit that Jesus has indeed fulfilled the Law and the Prophets. Is this preaching of Jesus' fulfillment at the core and the center of our preaching? fulfillment. Jesus has fulfilled the law and the prophets. But he has also given us clean clothes, the clean clothes of righteousness, a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus said, I say unto you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. What was the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? The scribes were those interpreters and teachers of the law to the people. They were, in a sense, the professional church workers of their day. And in the people's eyes, they were considered righteous. The Pharisees made a profession of being pious. They were the ones who wore the right clothing, they tithed, they believed in the resurrection, they believed in angels, and they also appeared to the people to be righteous. Yet Jesus, in Matthew 23, makes it clear that in reality, they were hypocrites. Their righteousness was really no righteousness at all. Yet, Jesus still says that our righteousness is to exceed theirs by far. And that is because we are to be compared to Jesus and his righteousness. And obviously, in comparison to Jesus and his righteousness, we lack righteousness completely. It's not only that we do sinful things, we are sinful. And how often haven't all of us, even in the midst of preaching a sermon, realized how poorly we really practice what we preach, and how we really are not worthy to enter into the kingdom of heaven? Yet Jesus has given us a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees. For though we are sinful ones, Jesus was the righteous one, the only truly righteous one. Jesus did not only just do righteous acts, he was righteous. When he was pounding nails into wood and eating his dinner, he was righteous. For he was obedient to the will of his Father. There was no sin or guile to be found in him. And he was that second Adam, where we see man restored to that original condition of being at harmony with God. Jesus has given us of his righteousness through a great exchange of clothing. He has taken upon himself the clothes of our flesh, clothes shredded and tattered by our sin, whether it be the sin of vanity or indifference or egotism. He became sin for us on the cross, and he paid the debt for sin that was owed to God. And in exchange, he has given us the clothes of righteousness. White robes, glorious robes, robes fit for a king, robes and clothes that we will wear into the resurrection, robes and clothes that he put on us at our baptism. And dressed in the clothes and the righteousness of Jesus is really the ultimate dress for success. For in God's eyes, the clothes do make the man. For where one is clothed with the righteousness of Jesus, there is forgiveness, and there is the hope of life eternal. Perhaps you're all familiar with the story of the old man, old pastor, who was at his deathbed. And he was being comforted by his friend. And his friend said, Pastor, now that you're about to die, you're going to receive your reward. And the pastor said in response, Far from it. Now I'm going to receive mercy. For he knew that he could not be comforted by his own righteousness because he had none. He could only be comforted in Jesus. The preaching of Jesus fulfilling the law and the prophets and of giving us clothes of righteousness, is this at the center of our preaching? Are we challenging our people to consider what clothes they are wearing, whether their own clothes or those given to them by Jesus? For after all is said and done, isn't it Jesus who should be at the center of our preaching? The washer is meant to be filled with clothes and we can go out with clean clothes. And Jesus has fulfilled the law and the prophets and has given to us the close of righteousness. May God grant that we may be used by him to preach these truths in powerful ways so that many may be brought into the kingdom of heaven. Amen.